Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and I want to welcome you to this Wednesday of Holy Week, April 12th, 2017. It is, as I said, Holy Wednesday, and we will be discussing, as we have been for this week, the assigned New Testament, this time lectionary text assigned for April 9th, as well as the assigned gospel reading for Holy Wednesday, which comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And I will say on a personal note that today, in addition to being the Wednesday of Holy Week, is also my birthday. So that's kind of fun. It's always interesting to have a birthday during Holy Week. I have had my birthday on Easter twice. I've had Palm Sunday birthdays, and I think I've had one Good Friday birthday. So I've run the gamut of Holy Week birthdays. It tends to happen when you have a early to mid April birthday, or even sometimes end of March, as one of my nieces does. And of course, this isn't about me, but you know, it's always kind of fun to have these Holy Week birthdays just to see where they fall and what's going on in my life. It was always a little crazy when I was in the parish to try to fit in any kind of birthday celebration in the midst of numerous Holy Week services. So it's kind of nice to not have that this year, although I do miss a lot of aspects of being in the parish and participating in the craziness that is Holy Week. It was a lovely day. My hubby spoiled me. He brought me breakfast in bed, so who can complain about that? And lots of fabulous well wishes and all the good stuff that make birthdays good. But I just wanted to bring that up because it's on my mind, and just to share that with you, my listeners. Not that I'm expecting anything from you, but just to share it for me, for my own sense of celebration, and to say, hey, it's my birthday and I'm here and it's Holy Week. But it is Holy Week, so I want to actually turn to the texts that are assigned. As I mentioned, we'll be doing the New Testament reading assigned for April 9th, which was Palm/Passion Sunday. And that reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then this week I've also been doing the assigned lectionary readings for the day of the week, today being Holy Wednesday. And that reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And we are going to get to those texts soon after a quick break. So stay tuned. And when we come back, I'll be talking about the assigned New Testament reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Stay tuned and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The Health and Wellness Podcast, dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. As I mentioned before the break, I'll be starting this section off by talking about the assigned New Testament reading for April 9th, which was from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, and those verses are as follows. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And again, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. And these words probably sound very familiar to you if you have participated in communion at all. Often, I know my tradition uses these words as part of the communion liturgy. Maybe yours does as well. It is very common to hear these words spoken before communion. Do this in remembrance of me. And as I keep mentioning this week, if you've been joining me, these texts are assigned for Palm/Passion Sunday, and that is a Sunday where the worship consists of readings and, basically readings that really encapsulate all of Holy Week. And here we are seeing part of Maundy Thursday. This comes from Paul, who is writing to the church in Corinth, but he's relating this story. He's telling the story of Jesus and Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, where he said these words to them, and this is where we get the words for communion that we use in the liturgy. So here we have a piece of Maundy Thursday, and this isn't giving anything away for tomorrow, because tomorrow's texts are the alternate story of the Last Supper, wherein Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow on Maundy Thursday. But Jesus gathered with his disciples the night before he was betrayed to participate in the Passover Seder with them. They gathered together, and in the midst of the meal, Jesus said that he wanted to implement something new with them. And so he gives them these words that we now know as the words that we use in the communion liturgy. And he said, you know, "Take this bread is my body, it's given for you. This wine is my blood, it is also given for you. And that you are to do these things in remembrance of Jesus, in remembrance of his body and blood, of his death, his crucifixion, his death and resurrection." So these are all things that happen in the midst of Holy Week. And as I've said before, I've been trying to immerse myself in these texts this week to really stay present in the Holy Week experience of experiencing Jesus' life and what happened to him during this time, during this week, as he journeyed toward that betrayal, that crucifixion. And there's a lot to that story. If you notice, as you're reading through the Gospels really slow down and they pay a lot more attention to the details and walk you through much more slowly than they walk you through a lot of the other events that happen in Jesus's life. So when that happens in a narrative of any kind, we should pay attention to why is the narrative slowing down. Well, we need to pay attention and see what's going on. And in this case, of course, we know how the story goes. We know how the story ends, that it does end with the promises of Easter, with the resurrection. And so we need to pay attention to what's going on here. And Jesus has known for a long time that his death is coming, and that he needs to try to give his disciples, his followers, as much information as possible so that they can carry on his ministry when he is gone. And here he's having this very touching moment with his disciples, the Last Supper, as we now have come to call it, and he wants to continue to give them as much information as possible, but also ways in which they can work in the world after he is gone. And so he gives them this. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. This is my blood. This represents the new covenant that is being made with you through me by God, so that your relationship with God is really going to take on a new understanding." And so he's giving them frameworks for how to be in the world after he is gone. And one of those frameworks is a way to gather together as a community, as a family, to gather together around the table as Jesus and his disciples are doing in this text. And a framework, as I said, to experience and to remember Jesus's death on the cross, but also what that means in terms of his resurrection, what that means to us in terms of the grace that God has given us, the gift of grace, and that wonderful not reimagining, but the new covenant that God has given us, because If you've been listening to me for any time, then you know that I keep saying that the Bible really is just a love story between God and God's people. God trying desperately to be in relationship with the people, and the people being very stubborn, as people tend to be, and turning their backs on God. And so God keeps trying new ways to get our attention. God does everything in God's power to get our attention, to bring us back into relationship. And finally, God sends Jesus, and our whole relationship then with God is brought into this new set, this new covenant, this new promise, wherein God says, I love you, and I want you to know that this is eternal. And so here is my son, who will teach you a new way of being in relationship with me. So I do want to look at some commentary on these verses, because, of course, in the context of Palm Passion Sunday, we understand that this is describing Jesus' Last Supper. But of course, in another context, Paul is writing these words to the church in Corinth, and there is a reason that he's doing that. And so this commentary comes from Carlo Works, who is the associate professor in New Testament at Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. And she says that the Corinthians failed to practice the Lord's Supper correctly. Though this failure was detrimental to the edification of First Church Corinth, it is fortunate for us, since 1 Corinthians 11:17-34 is the only place where Paul discusses the Eucharist. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we probably don't think about that. I know I don't think about it. I mean, I tend to think more about the Eucharist in terms of where we read the words from Jesus, as well as, you know, participating in the Eucharist every Sunday in my own tradition, not quite so frequently for some other traditions, but we hear these words all the time. And it's interesting that Paul didn't speak of them more, because Paul had something to say on, you know, just about every topic. And so I am fascinated that Paul didn't talk about this more. But she goes on to say that it seems that the Corinthians were partaking the bread and the cup regularly, but their behavior at the table caused the apostle to question whether what they were doing could rightly be called the Lord's Supper. Although their words may have recalled the night of Jesus' death, their actions were preaching a different story. She goes on to say, immediately prior to verses 23-26, Paul reveals that the Corinthians' table etiquette was not even recognizable as the Lord's table. In verse 17-22, the reader learns that some have plenty of food and drink, while others have little. Some are drunk before their brothers and sisters even arrive. Clearly, some of the Corinthians are more affluent than others. They can afford more food, and because they do not have to work all day, can begin fellowship earlier. These folks, Paul says, have homes in which they could eat and drink before coming to the assembly. It appears from the apostle's description of their table that some of the Corinthians are allowing their social distinctions to dictate their behavior to one another rather than allowing Christ's behavior to be their guide. And so this gives us a really good picture. I had a pastor once who always referred to the church in Corinth as the those contentious Corinthians, those cranky Corinthians. He had all kinds of good alliteration, because the church in Corinth really did have some issues. They weren't living up to the promises that had been given us through Christ. They had listened to Paul when Paul came to speak to them, but then as they were going through, they were letting so many different factors affect how they were worshiping together, and they weren't sticking to that that original plan that was laid out for them. When they were told of Christ's work in the world, of Christ's love for them, and the communion table, the Lord's Supper is just one more of those places where they are letting everything else dictate how they do things in worship, in church, in community, and not Jesus's words, not what they had been taught about Jesus's words. So Paul is reminding them that Jesus spoke these words and the context in which Jesus spoke these words. And we too should remember that each week when we go to the table. You know, we come to the table with people from our community, people who may have more than we do or less than we do, but we all come to the table as equals. We all come to the table as recipients of God's grace and God's promises. And what does that mean? That means that God loves us all, that God has given us all the same promises. It doesn't matter if I have more money than this person over here, or if that person over there has way more possessions than I do, has a better job. We all come to the table as God's children, recipients recipients of God's grace and God's love, recipients of the promises made to us through Jesus's actions during Holy Week, through his whole ministry, but especially during Holy Week, and his death on the cross on Good Friday, his resurrection on Easter. Jesus gave these words to his disciples so that they would have a framework for a way to remember him after his death, but also to remind them of why his work was so important, of why his sacrifice for us was so important, to give them that framework, to give us that framework, that we all come to God the same as beautiful and beloved children, as I always end the podcast with. And so these words are important for a lot of reasons. They're important in the context of Holy Week because they show yet another step in Jesus's journey with his disciples and his journey in his ministry, his journey toward the cross. And Paul is trying to remind the church at Corinth just how important these words were. So that is the text from the Corinthians, the first of from 1 Corinthians that was assigned for this week for Palm/Passion Sunday. And when we are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, then we'll be moving on to the gospel text assigned for today for Holy Wednesday. And that is from the Gospel of John. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
We're back. Welcome back to the podcast. Before the break, we were talking about the assigned text from 1 Corinthians for April 9th, and now we're moving into the assigned text from the Gospel of John that is assigned for Holy Wednesday, and that is John chapter 13, verses 21 through 32, and those verses are as follows. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I gave this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered it into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out. And it was night. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once." So again, those verses are from John chapter 13, verses 21 through 32. And I always find it interesting when we come into a reading that starts, you know, all of the readings start in the middle because we don't read the Bible from beginning to end each Sunday. But after saying this makes me at least say, after saying what? What did Jesus just say? Obviously, we are in the part of the Gospel of John where we're at the Last Supper, which is what we talked about a little bit in the previous section with the 1 Corinthians. But Jesus just said something. And so what he said was, I tell you this now. I tell you, he's talking about his, he just washed their feet. And I'm backtracking, sorry. So Jesus had just washed their feet, and he's saying, I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed to do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but it is to fulfill the scripture. The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Very truly I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. So that at least gives us a little more context. Jesus has just washed their feet, and now he is once again trying to prepare them for his upcoming betrayal and death. He is not reminding them, but trying to prepare them for what is to come. They still don't really get it. The poor disciples, and who can blame them? I mean, Jesus is their teacher. He's their friend. He is their mentor. He's so many things to them. They love him. They don't want to think about him being betrayed, him being killed. So they're definitely in a little bit of denial. They just can't hear what Jesus is trying to tell them. He keeps trying to tell them. Even in this next section, when he tells them that one of them will betray him, and that person is the one to whom he's going to give the piece of bread, he gives it to Judas. And still, they haven't quite figured it out, right? Some think it is because Judas held the common purse, and so he's supposed to go out and get food for the festival. Some of them just don't, you know, they're saying buy what we need for the festival, or that Judas should maybe give something to the poor. If you remember from yesterday, Judas was complaining when Mary washed Jesus' feet with her tears, or when she anointed Jesus' feet with the expensive perfume, and he said, why did this money get spent on perfume when it could have been given to the poor? We're told that he was the keeper of the common purse, and so they're thinking maybe Jesus was telling him to go out and give something to the poor. But they still don't quite understand it, and it's easy to see that Jesus's followers, Jesus's disciples just aren't in a place where they're ready to hear this. They aren't ready for what Jesus is trying to prepare them for. But Judas does take that piece of bread, and then he goes out into the night. And Judas is an interesting character because we don't know a lot about him. In John, as I was saying yesterday, or the day before yesterday, excuse me, when I was speaking of that part where he's complaining that perfume is expensive, we're told that he was the keeper of the common purse. John is clear. He's trying to make sure that we understand that Judas is not a good person, that he's going to betray Jesus. And so John says that Judas didn't say that because he really cared for the poor, but because he used to steal from the common purse. And we don't really know much about Judas. We don't know what his reasonings were. It would be interesting, you know, if we could do the whole time machine thing and go back and actually speak to Judas and find out what his motivation were, what he thought he was accomplishing. What, you know, did he do it because he hated Jesus? Did he do it because he loved Jesus and he was led astray in some way, thinking that this would be helpful? Was he just greedy? What were his motivations? Because not, you know, people aren't just one thing. Judas isn't just greedy, or he isn't just the keeper of the common purse, and maybe he's stealing from it because he's greedy. He was a human being with complexities and gray areas, just like we all are. I'm not trying to excuse Judas here, although there are some commentaries that talk about Judas and his betrayal as a necessary thing, that it's part of the whole process of getting Jesus through this week in Jerusalem, through Holy Week, to the cross, and ultimately to the promises of the resurrection, that Judas plays a key role in his betrayal of Jesus. And you can take that as you will. Some people think that makes sense to them, and other people just don't want to give Judas any benefit of the doubt as having, you know, an important role to play in any way, shape, or form. But I'm fascinated by human nature, and so for me, I always wonder just exactly what Judas's motivations were, what his true reasons were, if he had those true reasons, and why he ultimately betrayed Jesus, if it was just for the money or if there was something else going on there. So Judas has gone out, presumably to do what he is going to do, to betray Jesus to the authorities. And then we move on into this slightly different section, which is sometimes given the heading of a new commandment. And Jesus says, now the Son of Man has been glorified and God has been glorified in him. You'll recognize this as very typical of John's language, the language that he uses. It was present in the text we read yesterday on Holy Tuesday in John chapter 12. And he's still saying, you know, I'm only with you a little longer. He says, you will look for me. But as I said to the Jews, I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. And this is actually after the verses that we read for tonight. But this is where Jesus then says, he says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And that's one of my favorite parts of this gospel, of John's gospel and Jesus' words, that he reminds them that he has loved them, his disciples, and that they are then in turn to love each other. And if you listen to me on an irregular basis, you're going to hear me say this a lot. You know, how do we show God's love that God has given us to each other? How do we go back out into the world after we worship on Sunday, or after, you know, we participate in Bible study, or after we participate in prayer? How do we go out into the world and show God's love to our brothers and sisters? How do we do God's work in the world to make the world a better place, to make the world more like it should be if God's love were present everywhere, if we were all doing this, if everyone lived as God, if everyone loved as God loves us, how different would the world be? How would we live differently? So this is, again, yesterday we, or not yesterday, but in previously in the First Corinthians, we talked about the Last Supper and those words that are in the Last Supper. And so that's a really actually a nice tie-in to this, because it's at the same instance. Obviously, you know, this is in John's gospel and that was in 1 Corinthians. So that was Paul reminding the Corinthians of what happened at the Last Supper. But now it's a really nice segue, I think, into this reading from the Gospel of John. And we're getting more of the picture all the time. This picture of Jesus as he journeys through Holy Week, him just trying to do as much as possible to prepare his followers, his disciples, his friends for his upcoming death, his imminent departure from them. Because as we can see, they are in a bit of denial. They're not ready for what is about to happen. And Jesus only has a little bit of time left. So speaking of time, that is all the time that we do have for today's podcast. But I do hope that you'll join me tomorrow. Tomorrow is Maundy Thursday, so we will be reading that story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet and moving yet closer to Good Friday and the events of the Passion and Jesus' death and crucifixion and death. So again, thank you for joining me today. As a reminder, you can find this podcast and all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download this podcast and others on anything that you use to download podcasts to your mobile device. So iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, whatever it is that you use that is your favorite app, you can find our podcasts. As always, I would love to hear from you on social media. If you have questions, if you have comments, if you have anything to share with me, I would love to hear from you. So you can find me as GSMC Bible Study on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, all kinds of places. So come check us out on social media as we continue moving through this Holy Week, as we move closer and closer to Good Friday and ultimately through to Easter. I want to remind you, as I do every ending of the podcast, that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you for joining me.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.